Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Harry had a little lamb. It was quite a snow. And everywhere that Harry went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Friday edition of Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio, just 1 minute after the hour. On this March the 2nd, 2012, crew will be joining me a little bit later today, so that's all right. I've got time to do what it is that I do best, and that is to ramble on and talk about whatever it is that I want to talk about. And don't forget, folks, you know it's Friday.
You know what time it is. It's time for the Friday night dance party.
That's
you
right, Friday night, the Friday night dance
it's
party.
It's time for the Friday night dance party.
Coming to you live right here on Reese on the Radio, which will get your Friday dose of my dance party themes. You know, it's Friday night. It's raining all across the country. There's tornadoes everywhere. Some of you can't get to go out, so we give you your little five-minute Friday night dance party. You know, where we enjoy a little bit of music from yesteryear. Nothing new or current. We try to stay away from that. The music today is straight garbage. I'm your host, Reese on the Radio. Plenty of news today. A lot of stuff that I wanted to get into. A lot of stuff that I didn't want to bother to get into. I can beat up on the immigrants all day. Of course, I have another story that's literally being spun in the media. And what I've noticed is when people are out there looking for stories, they find this one little story, this little story with a hole in the ground. This little hole in the ground place where there's this one little story, and we need to make her sort of like a benchmark to the entire argument, if it were, about immigration or whatever it is. We get this one isolated incident, and we use that story to make it a grander point. And that's being done with these immigration advocates. You know, I might as well just go right into it. She's some chubby broad named Daniela, and we're supposed to feel sorry for her because she's so damn smart. And because of her, I guess, because she's so damn smart, we're supposed to just, you know, bend the rules for her because she's so damn smart. We have to forget, you know, throw the book right out. Throw the law. Get rid of it. And let's make sure that we compensate this little illegal so that she can live in our country without facing the consequences when you've done something wrong. Here's the story.
Daniela is a senior at North Miami Senior High School, where she's in the International Baccalaureate program and has a 6.7 grade point average.
I applied to Yale, I applied to Dartmouth, Duke University, Trinity, and Wesleyan.
But just days before she'll find out if she's been accepted to any of those colleges, she may be forced to leave the country.
I think it's not fair.
On March 28th, Daniela and her sister are scheduled to be deported back to Colombia.
I've been here since I was four. I'm American.
Daniela and her siblings came to America with her parents back in 1991. Her parents divorced, And in 2006, when her mother had to go back to Colombia for medical reasons, she was denied access back into the country. Daniela now lives with her father, who's a resident, but on Monday, a judge deciding she and her sister can no longer live here.
So my life is over, you know, basically.
She has a brother who's been serving for 2 years in Afghanistan and Iraq. So here's her brother out defending the country, and a judge telling her, oh, but you don't deserve to be here. It doesn't make any sense.
More than 3,000 people already signing an online petition to stop Daniela from being deported.
We spread the message through everywhere, through Facebook, through parents, emails, faculty, everybody. Everybody's been supporting her.
Seeing my friends and my community, you know, administration, any attorneys helping me, my congressperson, it's giving me hope that maybe there are people there that do care for me and might be able to help me.
So that's her horrible story. We feel so horrible for her. We feel so bad for this young lady. 6.7 grade point average. She's applied to Dartmouth, to Harvard, to Trinity. Hey, up by you there, JC. She even applied to Yale, up by you. So we're supposed to stop and say, oh, poor Daniela. We're supposed to stop what we're doing to make sure that you get a proper education here in the United States. Since you have a 6.7 grade point average, your brother who's serving in Afghanistan, defending the country of his origin, not yours, that we should consider the fact that he's risking his life to save your ass. What can I say to you, young lady, other than please pack your stuff and get the hell out of my country? You've been here since you were four. You're sitting up here saying, I've been here since I was four. I'm American. You're Americanized, but you're not American. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Are you American? You're not. It just doesn't work that way. What your parents did, that's fine. You know, you've been here. You did the whole thing. That's all great, fine, and dandy. Ha, 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 ha. Great. Bottom line is, you don't belong here. Nor should you be here. But I love the way the press takes this woman, this young lady, and uses her to promote a narrative. Are these the kind of people that we want to kick out of our country? And the answer is yes. These are the people we want to kick out of the country. These are the people who must go. These are the people who have to leave. You got to get out. And, you know, for the teacher who says, this doesn't make sense, you know, we got a brother serving over in Afghanistan. So what? No one's challenging his citizenship. He joined the military. He moved on. Got his behind in the military, went to go serve the country, of course, that he was born. You, on the other hand, you don't belong here. And why should we be stopping for you? Just so you could go to some liberal college and fight for immigration? We don't need any more warriors over there. They've got enough. They've got enough immigration lawyers. We don't need one more. And we damn sure don't want an illegal one. Championing a cause that doesn't make any sense. It's pathetic for the news media to go after this story. Woe is you. This is so often done. You know, we pull at the heartstrings of Americans. It's a contentious issue. It always will be. Now, look. Here's the question that nobody bothered to ask in that little piece. Let me be the first to ask it. Aren't there any good schools in your native Colombia? I mean, aren't there any Ivy League schools in your little dirt-ridden town? Your cocaine-laced neighborhoods? Isn't there anything there? Because you know what I'm getting at, right?
Aren't Columbia Dentals popping up everywhere?
What's that? Columbia what?
Columbia Dentals.
Oh, you like the people in the dentistry?
Oh, no, we have Columbia Dentals. Like, there's like 8 in Connecticut.
Really?
I think that's just the name. I'm sorry. Continue on.
My problem is, why can't you go to school in your native country? Hey, your mom's there. You're living with your dad. Nobody likes living with uncool dad. All the children end up with their moms. I mean, isn't this sort of the Elian Gonzalez story? Isn't it kind of that respect? Doesn't it have the same sort of... It's had some associations there. Moms back in Colombia was denied access into America, and now the daughters have to go back. You're going to live with mom. Don't you want to be with mom? Your mom is there all alone. Your mom's there by herself. Don't you want to... Isn't that the time in your life when you get to be with mom and you get an education there and then you come back here legally? You get your education in Colombia. You know, you get the education that you need there. It's probably cheaper. I understand that the opportunity is here. I get it. That's all fine and dandy. But the fact of the matter is that you can go to school right in your own country. See, the problem is I know she's probably getting a scholarship with a grade point average of 6.7. Oh, and they love that opportunity, don't they? They love that freebie, don't they?
Well, what a 6.7. Don't you think she deserves it?
No.
No?
No, because she got it illegally.
She's okay, told. Carry on.
It's an education. Hey, we got a woman serving 5 years for stealing education in Connecticut.
12 years.
No, well, she'll serve 5. But she got sentenced to 12. You're right. But she'll serve 5. The woman's going to serve 5 years for stealing an education, right? She falsified her records.
Kindergarten education is that.
Yeah, exactly. A kindergarten education. The woman is doing 5 years in jail, got sentenced to 12. I mean, doesn't that amount to anything? Doesn't that sit inside your psyche? This woman wanted a better education for a child, and all she did was cross the neighborhood border. Think about that. She crossed from one neighborhood to another in these United States, and they cited her for stealing an education. And people are screaming about the injustice there. These children stole an entire high school education to the point where the girl was going to be, it was going to be placed in one of the most Ivy, in some of the most Ivy League colleges in America after stealing an education, and she's being deported and people are outraged. How can you be outraged? Where are the 3,000 people on Facebook fighting to get that poor black woman out of a Connecticut jail because she tried to give her 4 or 5-year-old kid an education in the next town? She didn't cross the sea. She didn't come here on an inner tube. She didn't fight sharks. All she did was ride the city bus. That homeless woman was riding a city bus. Homeless, sleeping in empty houses and abandoned buildings. And all she wanted was the best for her baby. And the taxpayer said, no, you goes to jail. I don't care if he knows his ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. Get in a slammer, bitch. And we're supposed to feel sorry for Daniela. Explain to me how that's right. You have to listen to the way the reporter reports this story, how she delivers this story.
Daniela is a senior at North Miami Senior High School, where she's in the International Baccalaureate program and has a 6.7 grade point average.
Nobody
I applied
cares.
To Yale, I applied to Dartmouth, Duke University, Trinity, and Wesleyan.
But just days before she'll find out if she's been accepted to any of those colleges, she may be forced to leave the country.
I think it's not fair.
On March 28th, Daniela and her sister are scheduled to be deported back to Colombia.
I've been here since I was 4. I'm American.
No,
Daniela and her siblings came to America with her parents back in 1991. Her parents divorced. And in 2006, when her mother had to go back to Colombia for medical reasons, she was denied access back into the country. Daniela now lives with her father, who's a resident. But on Monday, a judge deciding she and her sister can no longer live here.
So my life is over, you know, basically.
She has a brother who's been serving for 2 years in Afghanistan and Iraq. Okay. So here's her brother out defending the country,
yep.
And a judge telling her, oh, but you don't deserve to be here.
It doesn't
make any sense.
More than 3,000 people already signing an online petition to stop Daniela from being deported.
We spread the message through everywhere, through Facebook, through parents, emails, faculty, everybody. Everybody's been supporting her.
Seeing my friends and my community, you know, administration, any attorneys helping me, my congressperson, it's giving me hope that maybe there are people there that do care for me and might be able to help me.
And why does she believe that she has a congressperson? Why do you believe you have a congressperson? My congressperson? You don't have a congressperson. Your congressperson's name is, you know, Manuel Noriega. I don't know. Who cares? Your congressperson ain't in America. You ain't be got no congressperson here, young lady. You don't belong, your congressperson. Nothing here belongs to you. You pay no taxes. You have an education for free. You paid for nothing. You get nothing. No taxation, no representation. You're a congressperson. My congressperson there. Sweetheart, mine. Mine. Not yours. So what the hell would make anybody believe that it was okay for her to stay? Yes, your brother serves in Afghanistan. Thank you very much there, young man. We absolutely respect you giving of yourself so that we can have our freedom. But you are not fighting for your sister's freedom. You're not fighting for your sister's freedom. Your sister's not a resident. If you want to fight for her freedom, go fight for the Colombian army. Would you fight for me? That's right. I'm sorry, boss. I know this is your sister. I could care less, though. I could care less. That's all I can say about it. Daniela, your sister, please, pack your bags. Air Colombia. Flight's leaving on the 28th. All right? Okay, don't worry about it. We got you covered. Get your sister a window seat. How would you like an aisle? Like an aisle seat? I saw you. You're probably going to need that aisle seat. Need some more room.
Ah. Now you're being just cruel. Now you're being just cruel.
I don't care. Get her ass out of my country.
I hope that petition works.
I love it. L-O-V-E-I-T it.
I'm going to follow this story.
Oh, sure, you're going to follow the story. That's just like you, JC, you bleeding heart. You're pathetic. We'll take a break.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits.
He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And welcome back. It's Reese on the Radio here live on Blog Talk Radio, 24 minutes after the hour. Numbers 347-308-8701. You can also log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com and email at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com if you wish. So, sent me a... somebody sent me a... a link that I saw before. And I was actually kind of skeptical at first. When I first saw this, I wasn't sure whether or not it could possibly be real, but sure enough, it was. I'll break down what it was, the email that they sent me, after, of course, we get into the story, and what inspired the email. Rush Limbaugh has been receiving some backlash behind a some audio, in fact, that we even played yesterday, but it's catching some fire lately, because... Well, yeah, okay, it's on fire, as Mary so eloquently put it. Yeah, it's really created a firestorm. But that's only because I believe that people are jumping on to this story because they need something inflammatory. People hate, in the liberal media, that is, they cannot stand Rush Limbaugh. And going after him in this particular case was warranted because, look, I admit that what he said was pretty inflammatory, but he makes very valid sense. And here's just a breakdown of how the news media dealt with it. One particular news outlet, ABC News, dealt with it this morning.
For 2 days, Rush Limbaugh has eviscerated Sandra Fluke on the radio.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
Fluke, a third-year law student at Georgetown, is now the flashpoint in a debate about whether employers should be required to fully cover contraception, even if they have religious objections. Fluke had been prevented from testifying by Republican Congressman Daryl Issa at this congressional hearing in mid-February. Two congresswomen even walked out of the hearing after only men testified. But last week, Fluke was back before Congress, this time speaking at an unofficial hearing held by Democrats.
Without insurance coverage, contraception, as you know, can cost a woman over $3,000 during law school. For a lot of students who, like me, are on public interest scholarships, that's practically an entire summer's salary.
Those comments set off the talk radio giant on Wednesday.
She's having so much sex she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex. What does that make us? We're the pimps.
And again on Thursday.
If we're going to have to pay for this, then we want something in return, Ms. Fluke. And that would be the videos of all this sex posted online so we can see what we are getting for our money.
Overnight, Fluke responded on MSNBC.
I guess my reaction is what the reaction that a lot of women have when they've been called these names. Initially, you're stunned, but then very quickly, you're outraged, because this is historically the kind of language that is used to silence women.
House Democrats are seizing on this issue, asking House Speaker John Boehner, a Republican, to condemn Limbaugh's remarks. Robin?
All right, Jay. Thanks very much.
So there you have it. That's pretty much what the response has been so far to his comment. Now, remember, this is a young lady who is saying in a congressional hearing, saying that she cannot pay for her contraception. That's what she went on the Senate floor and said. She said she wants the federal government to make sure that she has contraception. That she says that it's costing a family $3,000 to pay for contraception. She's saying that they can't fit contraception into their budget. This is a budgetary issue. She says that one of her friends told her that she can't even afford it anymore, so she stopped using contraception. That's the entire argument. And in essence, what's contraception? Is it birth control?
Condoms.
What was it, Mary?
Condoms.
What else?
Birth control, IUDs, shots,
latex squares that taste like bubble gum.
Yeah. Wow, you went off the deep end on that.
They do. They come in several flavors. So do condoms. There are several things that are birth control. You don't have to be on the pill.
Right, you don't have to be, but that's contraception.
Yeah.
So, is contraception...
Abstinence.
Abstinence, right? Here's my question. Can you get birth control for free anywhere?
Most definitely.
Where?
At the health department.
Where at?
Planned Parenthood.
Whoa, look at that.
They're giving away condoms like they're candy bars.
Yeah. Do you know how far Planned Parenthood is from Georgetown University? I checked.
Probably a quarter of a mile.
A little further.
Half a mile.
Mile and a half.
Okay. They can run there. They like to exercise over there.
That's right.
GU.
How many pharmacies do you think are right off the Georgetown University campus? I checked.
Probably five.
I know two within less than a mile. Try 0.3 miles.
Okay.
Right outside.
They don't want to pay for it.
A CVS is right out across the street.
Well, this is what a lot of women's arguments are. Okay, fine, you can get condoms from everywhere, whatever. But a lot of women want to... Please don't hit me in the mouth again with the microphone. Oh, my God, we have this problem every night now. Women like to use birth control because it gives them a... it helps them regulate their period. You know, I guess it doesn't help me regulate mine, so I don't use it. I mean, I don't...
Are we going to go into, like, really, really nasty territory here?
I'm not going to go into nasty territory, but women like to use the pill. They like the birth control pill, and a lot of women like that Depo shot or whatever. It's all dangerous. You shouldn't use any of it anyway. Stop filling your bodies with that garbage. Just use a freaking condom. Or don't have sex during the time that you can get pregnant, if that's what you're trying to stop.
Sounds like sound advice to me. But then this happened today, folks. And trust me when I tell you, I couldn't believe it.
The president called... Georgetown University law student Sandra Flook, I think is actually how you pronounce it, because he wanted to offer his support to her. He wanted to express his disappointment that she has been the subject of inappropriate personal attacks and to thank her for exercising her rights as a citizen to speak out on an issue of public policy. And it was a very good conversation.
Is that all you can tell us about the conversation?
Well, I mean, I think so. It wasn't, you know, it was several minutes. They had a very good conversation. I think he, like a lot of people, feels that the kinds of personal attacks that she's, that have been directed her way are inappropriate. It's the fact that our political discourse has become debased in many ways is bad enough. It is worse when it's directed at a private citizen who... was simply expressing her views on a matter of public policy.
Is it appropriate for Democratic organizations to try to raise money off of this attack on her?
I think that I'll leave that to whatever organizations might agree with her or sympathize with her. The fact of the matter is the president was expressing his support for her and his disappointment in the kind of attacks that have been leveled at her, to her, and his appreciation for her willingness to, sort of stand tall and express her opinion.
Now that was the press secretary Jay Carney speaking to Jake Tapper, who also did the report that we just played earlier, pretty much asking, I guess I would consider them appropriate questions. You know, what was the conversation about? Now here's the part that people don't even notice. Now, if I were... Pardon?
I'll bet you I
noticed. Okay, good. I'll test you on it. I'll see whether or not you noticed it. If I were Jake Tapper, I would have asked this question when I heard Jay Carney say this particular thing. Let me see if you got it. What do you think you would have challenged?
The fact that expressing her right to, you know, her right to express it. So... Rush Limbaugh has his right to express whatever he feels, too.
Not where I was going, but you're absolutely right.
Where were you going?
I was going in this point. Jay Carney, the press secretary, had the nerve to say that she was a private citizen talking about a public policy issue, and that in some way, because she was a private citizen, that she shouldn't have been the object of ridicule. Will you keep your dumb ass private then? You went on the Senate floor in front of cameras talking to the world about how you can't afford a condom.
Third year law student at Georgetown University. Your parents can afford to buy you a box of condoms.
She can afford to buy a pack of condoms. They brought her out there.
You better get your man too.
They brought her out there. They brought her. Please, no more with the latex squares. They brought her out there, and it backfired because someone had the nerve to say, "Hey, listen, we are not paying for you to have sex. We're not paying for it. This is about sex. That's all it's about. This isn't about contraception. This is about the liberal, free, willy-nilly ability to have sex whenever you want and to someone else to subsidize it. That's all this is about." And for Rush Limbaugh to say, "Hey, us paying for it makes you a prostitute. Us paying for it makes us a John, not a pimp. It makes us a John." That's where, well, obviously Rush Limbaugh knows nothing about this pimp and hoe game, you know, as I've so, you know, delved into and understood and understand the background and the relationship between the pimp and the hoe.
I'm sure that you do.
Pimp is pimping, baby. Pimp is pimping. But I understand.
Yes.
The bottom line. See, I'm so deep into the pimp and hoe game, I understand the difference between a bitch slap and a pimp slap. Do you know that there is a difference? Well, what is the difference? Do you know? What does it involve? What is the most important aspect that differentiates the pimp slap from the bitch slap?
The pimp slap probably knocks teeth out your mouth.
No, absolutely. It is trajectory. Trajectory. JC, do you understand the difference? Do you understand the trajectory this difference between a bitch slap and a pimp slap?
I believe so. I'm not
now, I've
sure.
given this lesson before. I have given
but this lesson. But I thought one was open hand, the other one was backhand.
Right, very good. Very good. You're close. You're almost there. See, the bitch slap is... Comes from above in a 45-degree downward angle. So it catches the forehead into the face, slapping the bitch down. Bitch is down. Whack! And when you hit the person, tap! You hear the word, bitch, that's it. You just, bitch, that's it. When you slap a person right in the face, bitch. Now, a pimp always comes up in a 45-degree angle with the back of the hand. See, it's all trajectory. He will slap a bitch. He'll slap a bitch with his pimp hand. That's how he keeps the pimp hand strong. Now, he could bitch slap with a pimp slap. He could bitch slap a bitch with a pimp slap. You get my point?
Oh, my God.
He can pimp the bitch by slapping her with a pimp slap. He will slap a man like a bitch. You see, you slap a man downward. That is, bitch, nigga, that's just kind of how you do it. That's how you do it.
Show of dominance.
It's a show of dominance. That's a bitch slap. You come down. Now, when you pimp slap, you call her a bitch, like, bitch, where's my money? Pimp, and it's upward, in an upward mobile, upwardly mobile slap when you catch her in the face. And it's not all that hard, because the girl will, exactly, oh, you know, she caught the face.
Make your head snap back.
Exactly, make your head snap back. So that is the difference between a pimp slap and a bitch slap. Lesson adjourned for all of you who do not know. But that's the bottom line. Wait, come on, back to serious.
So if that's a pimp slap, And a bitch slap.
You're not going to let it go, are you?
What is it that the hairdressers Julia and Hector be doing?
What do you mean? When they slap each other?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, back to the point.
A lot of open hands and a lot of screaming.
This woman.
High-pitched squealing.
This woman, Sandra Fluke. Sandra Fluck, whatever her name is. She put herself out there on the front lines. I don't know. And the worst part is her last name is spelled Fluke, but it's pronounced Fluck. That's Fluke.
Exactly. Yeah, it's Fluke.
It's fluke. But, you know, her sitting up there putting herself on Front Street like a hoe.
Named after a fish. Go ahead.
What did I say wrong? Mary's eyes just bubbled up. She said, she's like, yes, she put herself on Front Street like a hoe. That's what you do when you put yourself on Front Street. Talk about, hey, in essence, she sounds no different from that fool-ass Negro who was in the news a couple of months ago, talk about somebody got to pay for my 15 kids. She put herself on Front Street like a hoe.
I love her.
And said, look, I can't pay for my birth control. I'm having sex every day. And somebody got to afford me to get my freak on. Which one of you going to sign the bill? Sign the bill, damn it, sign the bill. That's the bottom line.
And if you don't, I'm going to have 15 kids, and somebody's going to have to be responsible for this.
Somebody's going to have to be responsible. I'm on the stroll. I date a lot of guys. You know, I'm in college, my third year law school. I'm 30. I'm getting up there. I ain't planning on having no kids. And I'd like to get my freak on. Please cut the check. So when you put yourself out there on Front Street, yeah, exactly. You put yourself out there on Front Street and somebody calls you on it and they says, hey, look at what you're on Front Street promoting, stupid. You're out there because you think that this is a good idea. You think that this is a smart idea. You think that you're going to promote a narrative, and somebody called you on it. You're on the stroll promoting your contraception.
Regardless of what, you know, she said country. So she said what she had to say. So why can't I don't necessarily agree with what Rush said. I probably wouldn't have gone at it like that, but we know how Rush Limbaugh is. He likes to stir the pot. But he was practicing his right of freedom of speech.
Absolutely. Just like those people I heard today who were, somebody went so far as to say this. JC, I swear to you, I cannot believe it. Talk about right of free speech. Taibbi over at Rolling Stone said, thank God Andrew Breitbart's dead.
Really?
Right. Why do you think?
Wow.
And he had the nerve to say Andrew Breitbart would respect him saying it. Thank God he's dead. Yep. You see what I'm saying?
Damn,
and no one's talking. Nobody. Oh, you want to talk about something crazy? Wait till I show you this. I'll show you something JC said to me a little while ago about Whitney Houston. This is real bad. Somebody did a Whitney Houston collage. With prescription pills.
With prescription pills?
It's pretty bad.
Right.
It's pretty bad.
But nobody said, oh, I'm glad Whitney's dead.
No. I don't think anybody's
dead. It's an awesome portrait.
They were glad Michael was dead when he was molested.
I think that artist is talented.
No. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
He was, well, okay, you can believe all day.
Your ass ain't building no damn, Playland or Rockaway Playland in your backyard with his doing shit. And you're not doing that just because.
I think you're just awful.
I can't believe she eats with that mouth.
I don't eat either.
My mother with this mouth. Friday night.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back,
get it out of her system.
Yeah, exactly. We've got more news. Apparently, let's have a Facebook page. We'll talk about it when we get back at 3Sub Radio.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message. Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Welcome back to Streets on the Radio, here live, 49 minutes after the hour on this March 2nd, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. I'm actually in a heated exchange. I'm exaggerating. I'm in an exchange with some folks over at a very, very left-wing blog show. It's a woman who does a show called the Wild, Wild Left Radio. She interviewed Noam Chomsky today. I'm not a fan. But I was wondering, you know, why is it that a lot of these liberal shows, they seem to pander to their guest. You know, no challenging questions. You know, I just agree with you. So just tell me what it is that you think we should do, because we have an agenda. There's no challenging questions. There's nothing like that goes on. And so I thought it was an open forum. I get online and I ask one question. I simply asked a very relevant question. Excuse me, Mr. Chomsky, are you still relevant? And no sooner than I asked the question, I got kicked out of the session. That fast. Kicked out. But, you know, whatever. Hey, look, if you don't want to answer the tough questions, hey, I won't be a part of the conversation. Anyway, getting to this thing that I saw, I was emailed today, and I was talking about it earlier. I got this email, and I was completely baffled by it. And it apparently has been, it's sort of taken a life of its own, thanks to the young woman, Sandra Fluke. It's a Facebook page called Save the Georgetown Sluts. Here's what it says about the program. Welcome to the world of the slut. Promising, yet gloomy, hopeful, yet in despair. The hand that holds the cosmo, the procreator, the aborter of tomorrow. A slut shapes the destiny of civilization. Such is the tragic irony of fate, that a beautiful creation such as the slut, is today one of the gravest concerns facing humanity, with a volley of congressional hearings, conferences, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. Now, the spokesperson, as you see that picture. That's a picture of, that is Sandra Fluke. Well, that's one that you're obviously calling her one. In this, they've got 178 likes. I've not seen the photo. Yeah, sluts. Really? That's what this is about.
Are they doing this on Georgetown U's property?
You didn't hear about the slut march?
No, stop it.
JC, I'm dead serious. You didn't hear about this?
No.
Are you really serious about this? What? I don't know. Well, yeah, apparently you were. The slut march was a huge deal last year.
What?
Yeah. There were million slut march of the day.
Stop it.
Slut walk is exactly what it was called. Slut walk 2000. Yeah. I'm dead serious. Slut Walk 2011 organizer plans 1 million slut march. And see, there's the picture you just saw on their Facebook page.
Across America, women are taking to the streets wearing next to nothing to embrace their inner slut. Meet the man behind the movement.
That's the part that I find even funnier.
Dick Gonzina.
There's no irony there?
Yeah, okay. Are you serious? Last weekend, thousands of women across America took to the streets wearing ripped fishnets and peekaboo bras to celebrate their innate sluttiness. Yet a few participants in Slut Walk 2011 realized they were part of an ingenious plan cooked up by one devious man, Richard Gonzina. Yeah, Dick Gonzina. It all started last January when a Toronto police officer declared that to avoid being raped, women should stop dressing like sluts.
That's what started it all. That was the whole thing that started it all. One police officer making this comment towards a woman or about women who are apparently being attacked, and the police officer said part of avoiding it would be if girls didn't dress like sluts. Therefore, a movement began.
Wow, these chicks have no clothes on.
No,
they're almost booty naked.
Yeah. And now they have a Facebook page.
Why would you want to be out promoting yourself to be a slut?
They think that's empowerment.
To be a whore is empowering?
No. Sluts.
Well, it's the same thing.
No, it's not. Whores get paid.
Okay, an unpaid whore.
No, whores get paid.
No,
because
no,
a slut is a recreational slut. She's recreational. She wants, she can have sex whenever she wants with whomever she wants. She's a slut. A whore has something to gain.
Well, they do too.
No, they don't.
Money.
What are they gaining?
They're
a slut gains nothing. I never gave a slut nothing. I've never given a slut a thing. Maybe a deposit, but I gave her nothing.
You gave a deposit, though.
But, yeah, it was, you know, whatever. But
there was no
hush, 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 hush.
We're Parenthood
done.
On the corner. No,
the point of the matter is that without being vulgar, the bottom line is that a slut does not get paid, a whore does. These are girls who are saying that their promiscuity in a way...
We don't get paid to have sex.
No, we don't. No, you don't.
Listen, if I have sex with Johnny, I'm giving Johnny my body, my private areas. He is giving me, in turn, his body and his private areas. It's an even exchange.
Not with a whore. Whore gets the, you know, she gets the, you know, she gets the John has to pony up.
But if a slut is having sex with Johnny, then a slut is, there's something that she needs to be gaining. She's gaining self, false self-worth. empowerment or something. She's gaining something too. It may not be financial like a typical whore gains, but you're gaining something when you're running around sleeping. You may be gaining more than you bargained for if you don't use condoms when you're running around sleeping with other people randomly on a social level.
Okay. But do you see how ridiculous this has become?
It is ridiculous. For you to want, for you to be, and these girls are beautiful, to be a 20-something.
Not all of them are beautiful.
I'm not saying all of them were beautiful, but the girls that I did see in that picture, they were beautiful.
Trust me, a lot of them were not beautiful.
Okay, all right, fine.
Some of them have no choice but to be sluts.
Wow.
Well, is that too much?
That was crude.
What? I said, what? I said some of them have no choice but to be sluts.
Why?
But they have bad personalities. Nobody would want a lasting relationship with some of these broads. Maybe slutting is the only way for them to, you know, to have a human experience.
You're unbelievable.
Why are you?
Somebody out there for everybody.
Yeah, probably another worthless piece of garbage. But if you're a slut, probably you've got nothing else going for you. Maybe all your body is all you have to give.
Maybe they're sluts for other purposes. I mean, you know, you do. Now, why? We just totally changed the subject.
No, we're not. We're talking about sluts.
Why women are whores? Why women.
I didn't say that they were. I said you have to behave. See, I can never call a woman a slut. She has to behave that way.
Okay, yeah, you behave that way, but there are different reasons on why everybody behaves that way. Some people have low self-esteem. You feel like you need to sleep around. It's the only way for you to feel love, to have an exchange of love. You feel like, oh, if I give this person myself, they're going to give me more than just what I'm getting physically in exchange from them.
What if you're just a piece of ish and nobody wants you? And the only way that people will, you got to walk around looking like a piece of trash just so people can notice you. Maybe that's the reason why you get ear piercings or back tattoos, because nothing else about you is appealing. And you've got to mark yourself up like a building in the Bronx with graffiti all over it in order for people to even know that you exist. Maybe that's the reason why you've got to be a slut. Because everything that's working inside your filthy innards isn't worth the time anyway.
Wow. That was...
Bottom line, your face is not a coloring book. Back up off the makeup.
Wow. Okay, but there's probably less of those people than there are other people that are some way trying to gain something. They didn't have a father in their life. So they're looking for the next father figure. They're, you know, they were abused or whatever. I'm not saying that I have to be a bleeding heart, but there are reasons on why people do the things that they do. Oh, my God.
It's absolutely pathetic.
That sounds horrible.
Sounds great to me.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like
that's probably because I feel that way. To hell with those sluts. That's the reason why they have to be, because nobody else cares. Can I start it over? My apologies. It's time to go. We'll be back. It's Rizzo Radio.
goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb and she was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
And welcome back. It's Reese on the Radio live on Blog Talk Radio. Just a minute after the hour on this March 2nd, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. Reese on the Radio is the website you need to go to. That's ReeseOnTheRadio.com. And also email us at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. You can get in touch with everybody that way. And don't forget, folks, it is Friday. It is Friday. Do not forget that it is Friday, if I have to keep saying it. That's only because I'm stalling for time. It is Friday, and you know what Friday means.
You know what time it is. It's time for the Friday Night Dance Party.
Friday Night Dance Party is tonight. And, well, we have a treat for you. We gave you a hint, actually, of what it was yesterday. Story that JC sent to me earlier today. I love this story. Love it, love it, love it, because it has so many twists and turns in my own mind. In my own mind. Turns out in New York, and this house is palatial. I guess that's the best way to put it. Look at that house, Mary.
Ridiculous.
That is a ridiculous house. This house is so insane. It's got an underground parking lot.
Love it.
Underground parking lot. That's how swanky.
Bomb shelter.
It's got everything. And it's right off the water. It's in upstate New York. But anyway, a wealthy New York woman is facing criminal charges after being accused of keeping an illegal immigrant as an indentured servant and forcing her to live in a closet for 6 years.
Shut your mouth. I bet you the size of the closet was the size of a studio apartment.
See? You see? It writes itself. JC, that is exactly what it is that I said when JC sent me this story today. You're telling me she's living in a closet? Like, I said,
how bad can that be in this house?
In this house, it's got to be the size of a master bedroom.
Outhouse, and it's probably the size of a small apartment.
Exactly.
A Soho suite.
Yeah, exactly. A Soho flat. Anyway, the documents which were posted on the Smoking Gun allege that Annie George, who's 39 years old, and her now-deceased husband, who is Mathea Kolaf George, hired an illegal immigrant from the Indian state of Kerala. The immigrant, identified only as VM, was promised about $1,000 a month in wages to live in the family's 34-room, 30,000-square-foot home. The house has a helicopter pad, 15 fireplaces, marble flooring, 24-karat gilded ceilings, and a glass elevator. VM was tasked with taking care of the George's four children, along with performing household duties in the mansion located about 20 miles north of Albany. New York's minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. Even if VM had been allowed to leave the residence at the end of a regular 40-hour week, she would have been entitled to a minimum pre-tax income of about $290 a week, or $1,160 per month. They say that they break down the actual money that she did get. It worked out to about 85 cents an hour. That's right.
No, 85 cents.
That's the weight. Well, look at the amount of money that she actually did get paid. That's exactly what it says. Instead, the forced labor situation, as described in the court papers, was even worse than already below minimum wage. the offer of $1,000 a month. VM received 85 cents an hour, working 17-hour days, 7 days a week, over the 67 months she was kept inside the Georgia's residence. All told, VM received only about $29,000 over the 5.5 years she was forced to work for the Georgia's family.
Okay. Well, so they held her prisoner?
See, that's an interesting thing. Because I can say that you, I can say I was an indentured servant if I wasn't paid minimum wage. I can argue that. Saying that she was, I don't know if you can say that she was locked up in a closet. They made, they say, she says that they forced her to live in a closet. I want to see the evidence of this closet. I got to see the closet.
I want to see the closet too. It's laid out.
I want to see the closet.
Imagine though if it was like a big, huge closet, a laid out closet, and she's sleeping on an air mattress or something.
Well, even if
so,
that's
with a milk crate as a
even if that's even if that's true, what I'm saying is that if your house is 30,000 square feet, okay, it's a 30,000 square foot house. Who's going to build a closet that's that small in that house?
Or that's a bad...
Yeah, like, you, if the place has 15 closets, who is the knucklehead? The architect of that building said, nah, this one's too big, make it smaller. Make this closet... No, every closet probably looks like a freaking master bedroom.
Well, okay, forget the closet. She was there 5.5 years willingly. Come on now. She wasn't there willingly. How do you keep someone locked up? You're working 17 hours a day. You can't possibly just be working around the house for 17 hours a day. You're helping take care of the four kids. You had to have had to take them somewhere. You've never left the house. You haven't seen the sight or felt the sight of day, the feeling of
sun on your face?
Sun in your face or wind in your hair in what? 5.5 years?
I think this is being over-exaggerated.
I think it is, too.
I don't believe... I mean, are there criminal charges pending, or is this just a civil suit? Because
she is suing for $206,000 in back wages.
Wow.
She was also allegedly denied health benefits, sick days, or any personal time off from her labors.
Now, what do you mean she's denied health benefits? What kind of health? I mean, is she sick?
Well, you don't. I don't know if in the state of New York if you have to offer health benefits. I don't know, but you don't have to. That's not.
But what is a health benefit? I mean, she was denied health benefits. Was she sick? I mean, if you're fit and you're right as rain.
Yeah, but you should go. Look, according to the health.
I don't think that. Are you telling me that they didn't pay her medical bills?
I'm not saying that they didn't pay her medical bills. Maybe she didn't have
any. I don't believe that.
They weren't offering her health coverage.
I just hit it with a link with pictures of the inside of the mansion.
You've got to be kidding me. You got insides of this place?
Yeah.
I've got to say, look at this place. Wow. Now, that pool... Goodness gracious, that pool. Yeah, that is just beautiful. That's the back of the house. Oh, wow, that's just off the, is this the kitchen?
No,
that's the sitting room. That's beautiful. Is this the kitchen? Or is that the bar?
The kitchen.
Is that the bar?
Even on the inside, see, like it's got a very boaty.
That's underneath the, what's name? That's underneath the pool.
What is that?
That looks like the entrance right there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful home. It's an amazing home. It's too bad with radio because you can't show the pictures. It's a beautiful home. I need to see the closet. See if we can get any photos of the closet. I doubt we can. Because I don't believe this bogusness about a closet and sleeping inside of it. I doubt any amount of money that this woman was living in some horrible conditions. No, was she paid appropriately? Probably not. They thought, hey, she lives in the house, she eats in the house. You know, look, I had this conversation with your mother once about the wages that waitresses make. You know, they keep their tips, and that's supposed to compensate for the wages. Other places, they don't really, really work. They don't really work it like that. Like, all the waitresses have to share the tips and things like that. This is a case where, in essence, you're a paid member of the family. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, I'm back.
Okay,
I'm looking at what could possibly be a closet door.
Okay.
And it looks like a double door.
I knew it. Of course, there's no way.
Oh, I'm all up inside the mansion now.
And it, you know what I find amazing? Is that not one of these reports say that she was forced to cook.
No, she cared for the children.
Yeah, of course she cared for the children.
Look at the pictures I just gave you.
She is a paid member of the family. That's exactly who she is. She is just a paid member of the family. It's like getting an allowance. You live here scot-free, and we'll give you some spending money. You go out there and buy whatever it is that you want. You know? But I'm looking at some of these pictures, and it's just absolute. Look at this place. Look at the grounds. It's a golf course, for crying out loud. That's the dining room. Yeah, that's a little gaudy.
That staircase is
staircase nice. Is beautiful.
And I like this here.
Yeah, the little sitting area. That's the pool. Yeah, pretty much all the same. That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
A lot of great pictures of the place. And, you know, look, if this... look at
the ceiling.
They've got... The kids have ping pong... Look, let me give you the... This is best...
That air
yes, it is. I'll give you the best example. They've got an entertainment room downstairs where they can fit a ping pong table... A pool table and an air hockey table on the same floor, and they're in a line together, okay? And a couch to the right and a door to the left. And you know how some places you go to people's basements and you try to play pool, but you can't usually hold the stick because the wall's right next to you?
Exactly.
They've got no problem here with that.
No,
it looks like a pool house in the whole place. Oh, everything about this place is gorgeous. Every room, every photo. There's no way that this woman was living. No.
I, you know, I'm beginning to believe that she could have been.
Well, okay.
Are you looking at the new photos that I sent you?
I just saw them.
No. He sent you more.
Okay. Do you see the kitchen photos?
Yes.
No, he sent you another one.
I saw that one. That was the one we just opened.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's the one we just opened. Go ahead. What about the kitchen? What's wrong with the kitchen?
No, I just sent you one with a lot of photos.
Yeah, so we saw them. We looked at each and every one of them. This is the Luxus pictures you sent us, right?
Right, Luxus.
Yeah. We just looked at those. Now you want us to go down to the kitchen.
If you look.
All right, I'm going to scroll down to the kitchen, which is, let me see. Yeah, okay, one of the last. Okay, so I'm looking at, all right, you're looking at that far door. At the end of the
probably like a pantry.
Yes, it's
right.
A pantry. You believe that's her room?
No, I don't believe that's her room. But what I'm saying is, across from there, where the fish tank is.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
No way in hell a mansion of this size, people with this kind of money, should still have an old ass tube TV.
Anywhere
in the house.
I see that. There's one in the wall.
Well, that's probably what she's allowed to watch. Maybe maybe those are the only TVs that get, like, novellas or whatever it is that those people watch. That's just me.
Fuego.
I don't watch that stuff. I had to watch that stuff back in...
Super Sábado Gigante.
Even worse show.
Saturday night, Sábado Gigante.
Yeah, I don't watch that stuff. Anyway, we'll take a break when we come back. Hey, listen, I'm very, very happy today. I got some really, really great news in the automotive field. Really, really happy news. 1,300 people lost their job in Detroit, and I am happy as a pig in dung, to be honest with you.
Why is that?
When we come back, I'll explain it to you. It's about that dumbass call. It's on the radio. We'll be back.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Here's Reese on the Radio, 19 minutes after the hour on this, March the 2nd, 2012. Number is 347-308-8741. A happy camper I am today. I am very, very happy today, especially to hear that the Chevy Volt is failing. I don't give a damn how many commercials they do. I don't care how many times George Clooney is voiced on their radio ads and their TV ads. I do not care. Yes, it's George Clooney. Of course it is. It's the reason why he loves Obama. Loves him to death. But, yeah. Anyway, here's the part that I really, really love about this story. If you indulge me a little bit, in reading it. This is a story coming out the Examiner. Headline reads, GM long off 1,300 to low volt sales. Now, they claim they're going to hire these people back, but anyway, General Motors Company announced the temporary suspension of the Chevy Volt production and the layoffs of 1,300 employees as the company is cutting Volt manufacturing to meet a lower-than-expected demand for the electric cars. Even with the sales up in February over January, we are still seeking to align our production with demand, GM spokesman Chris Lee said. Now, the car company had hoped to sell 45,000 Chevy Volts in America this year, according to the Detroit Press, but has only sold a whopping 1,600 in over the first 2 months of 2012. GM blamed the lack of sales in January on exaggerated media reports and the federal government's investigation into Volt batteries catching fire, which officially began in November and ended January 21st. And that's according to the Ann Arbor, Michigan News. The laid-off employees will be rehired on April 23rd when GM resumes production of the Volt. Now, here's what it is that I keep saying and no one seems to pay attention to. Oops, sorry. The Volt's batteries, do you know where they're made?
Probably China.
Korea.
Okay.
Do you know what happens if your battery dies on a Chevy Volt? Yeah, but how do you get another battery?
You have to buy another one.
You have to buy another one. One what?
Another battery.
You can't.
Why?
Because they don't sell them like that.
Well, how do they sell them?
With the car.
Shut up.
You think I'm kidding? This isn't like Sears and Roebuck. You can't just go in and go get yourself a Die Hard. It's not about that. It's a battery. Anything could happen. Battery fails.
Isn't that a main component of the car? Wouldn't that be covered in the car?
It's kind of how the electricity works.
Yeah. Kind of how the wheels turn.
Right. And the problem...
But is there a warranty on that?
Oh, I'm sure there's a warranty. Hey, what the hell? There's even a government subsidy. You even get a tax break on it if you buy the car. Do you know how much the car costs?
If you bought a hybrid car... When they first came out here in Virginia and in maybe in D.C. and Maryland, too, I'm not sure, but you can ride in HOV lanes with just one person. If you bought a hybrid car and had hybrid plates on or before whatever the date was, they stopped doing it. But
because no one was using it. There's no one buying these cars. And if you're buying them, you're a moron. You're a ridiculous fool.
They had sold too many.
No, they didn't sell enough.
But it was because if you bought one, you could ride HOV in a single person. You know what I'm saying? And in this traffic here in this area, like that really promoted them. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, that would be an incentive.
Yeah, sure, it's an incentive, but
live in Richmond and travel to DC to work every day.
Yeah, but again, none of them were buying the cars. What they were doing was government was buying the cars and giving them to government employees. So the only people who were buying them were the federal government. That's the reason why there were so many people being so many cars bought, because it was just government entities buying back a car company that they put money into.
They're basically being guinea pigs.
That's right. There's nobody in the American public is buying these cars for two reasons. One, first of all, it only seats four people. You want to know why it can't seat five? It's a four-door sedan. You want to know why it doesn't seat five? The middle partition goes from front to back. So it only fits four people. That little partition in the middle of the car goes all the way in the back. So it only fits four people. Do you know how much mileage it gets? 20. 20 going, 20 going back on electricity. So if you're traveling more than...
Your microphone.
20? Sure you can. Sure you can. Apparently, you can go 40 miles on an electric charge. 20 going, 20 back. Now, don't forget, if you're stuck in traffic, that also accounts for the time. You stop and go traffic, remember, this is battery power. Right? So if you're sitting in traffic, right, doesn't mean that... Right.
Okay, can you put gas in the car?
Sure you can. You get 350 miles to the gallon in the car.
How many gallons can you put in the car?
No, sorry, 350 miles on a full tank. I apologize. On a full tank, 350 miles on a full tank.
So that's a trip to New York.
Premium only. What? It only runs on premium gas. No regular unleaded. Only.
No mid-grade?
No mid-grade. Premium gas. This sound like a good investment to you yet?
No, I personally would not be riding around on it.
Right.
They're too small.
Absolutely. Not only is it too small, but the car is, it's paper thin.
Yeah.
It's made out of recycled garbage.
It's an eggshell.
It's exactly. It's made out of recycled paper. That's what it's made of. It's exactly. They're like fourth graders designing this car. And first of all,
give me a 1972 Cadillac Coupe de Ville with bat wing fins and a 300,000-gallon tank.
Yeah, that in and of
it. And with an emissions problem.
Oh, my God.
So if I have to pay for that much gas, then I'm going to cause that much damage.
Yeah, you would drive something that awful. I can actually.
I drive Coupe de Villes.
That's all you drive are Coupe de Villes?
Yeah, Coupe de Villes.
Probably what it sounds like.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What time is right for you?
Well, we're moving on now.
We're moving on
to the
anyway.
More like that last one.
Yeah. That's exactly what that car sounds like coming up the street. So, yeah, so I'm extremely happy for that. Listen, let's take a quick break because I just saw a story that I did not see earlier today. Are you guys familiar with a radio host by the name of Mike Savage?
Yep.
You familiar with him, JC? You've heard of
yes,
him?
Yes, I am.
Well,
yes.
You're going to be shocked. Mike Savage believes that Andrew Breitbart was assassinated.
Really?
Yeah. When we come back, we'll get into it. When we return, it's Reese on the Radio. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at Your Husband's Work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch, I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birth.
Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
It's Reese on the radio. We're back. A breaking news story that I just noticed quickly on Drudge Report. Now, I knew a part of this was going to come out because, you know, as I've always said, and as I said yesterday, knowing the guy and really having an affection and an affinity for him, Andrew Breitbart had a tendency to really get under people's skin. So reading this report and this story about Michael Savage saying these don't baffle me one bit. Let me read to you based upon – this is actually from a website called WND.com, which is pretty much covers all politics. Anyway, Michael Savage is asking the question – radio talk show host, I should say – is asking whether or not Breitbart was assassinated. The genesis of this is coming from a CPAC rally – that was held last week where Andrew Breitbart was a featured speaker, amongst other people. I think everyone there from Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, other conservatives were there. Rush Limbaugh has gone there in recent years, but he wasn't there at this particular one. Breitbart, who was one of the featured speakers, had pretty much said that he was going to vet the president this time around and that he had received tapes. What I also found shocking earlier this year was when Breitbart, on his own website, Breitbart.tv, had started talking about how he had had dinner with a former member of the Weather Underground. Why am I forgetting his name now? Forgive me for forgetting his name. Bernadine Dorn, of course, and Bill Ayers. That's who he was. He had dinner with them. He had gone there to have dinner with him with Tucker Carlson, another famed CNN TV host, and now the purveyor of the Daily Caller. Anyway, here's the story. Nothing that the cause of Andrew Breitbart's unexpected death yesterday was being examined by the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office. Talk radio host Michael Savage raised the question of whether the conservative media powerhouse, who recently announced he had videos that could publicly damage President Obama, was murdered. On his top-rated show today, Savage played an audio clip of Breitbart telling an audience at the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, in Washington last month that he had obtained videos that shed light on Obama's ties to radicals in the early 1980s, who helped propel him to the presidency. Quote, maybe my overly active imagination kicked into overdrive, Savage told his listeners, of his decision to raise the question. But you heard what Breitbart said. He has videos. We're going to vet the president. End, unquote. Breitbart reportedly was walking near his home in Brentwood, California. As you know, just after midnight, that was where he collapsed. The neighbor saw him fall and called 911. Emergency crews tried to revive him and rushed him to the emergency room at the UCLA Medical Center. Thank goodness he did not die at Cedars-Sinai. I would not want to have you tied in Breitbart with the likes of Tupac and Biggie. Okay? Just me personally. Anyway, it's entirely plausible, Savage acknowledged, that Breitbart simply collapsed of a heart attack, of overwork, and reported history of health problems. I'm asking a crazy question, Savage said, but so what? We the people want an answer. This is not an ordinary man. If I don't ask this question, I would be remiss. Breitbart told the CPAC crowd last month that the videos would reveal Obama during the time when he was meeting with a bunch of silver ponytails, referring to the Weather Underground terror group, members Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Ayers and Dorn reportedly launched Obama's political career with a fundraiser in their Chicago home. Savage noted that Breitbart had dinner with Ayers and Dorn 3 weeks ago at the couple's Hyde Park residence in Chicago's South Side, which is near Obama's home. Breitbart was invited by the Daily Caller editor-in-chief Tucker Carlson. It's amazing. I know this stuff, and you know they reported. I've already told you. Anyway, who won an internet auction for a dinner party with the couple. I got videos. This election, we're going to vet them, Breitbart said to CPAC, promising they would show how radical division and class warfare are central to the hope and change that Obama sold us in 2008. He threatened the president at CPAC, video that could derail the president's campaign, Savage said. I pray it was natural causes, but we'll never know the truth. Savage said that if Breitbart's colleagues have the videos, they should post them as soon as possible and make them viral, or they'll never see the light of day. Savage said he hadn't spoken with Breitbart over the past 2 years, but he recalled the media maven's visit to his home in the Bay Area. We spoke for 3 straight hours, Savage said. I was unable to say a word. Savage also attended a party at Breitbart's Los Angeles home. I told him 2 years ago to get a bodyguard. Never be alone in the street, Savage said. Savage, the author of the best-selling novel, Abuse of Power, put on his novelist hat and speculated about ways a murderer could remain undetected by inducing a heart attack and didn't even leave any traces. A caller from Savage, native New York City, said there was a simple way to find out what happened. If the tapes come out, he died of a heart attack, the caller said. If the tapes don't come out, they whacked him. Wow. JC, is it too premature to jump on a conspiracy theory of a guy like Andrew Breitbart?
No, it's not.
You know,
no,
I didn't.
I mean, he wasn't a liked individual to begin with.
Oh, hell no.
He had his share of enemies.
And
well,
for
a guy, I mean, how old was he, 43?
He was 43 years old. But see, you know what?
43 years, collapses, supposedly had video damning the president of the United States. everyone on the opposite wing against him. Yeah. I don't know. It's not too soon. I think on Jesse Ventura.
Why do you think Jesse Ventura? Well, I know Jesse Ventura didn't like him.
No. He's got that show Conspiracy Theory on True TV.
Yeah, I don't even watch that garbage. But
awesome show.
Okay, I don't believe anything.
And not because he's a wrestler either, Missy in the back.
She didn't assume that he was.
I know.
No, she didn't assume that.
She knows who he is.
No, here's my point. And you know, well, you don't have a thought on conspiracy theories?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it sounds like it's, yeah.
Hey, look, here's a guy.
I mean, I don't know if it's too soon to say what murder, but
I mean, Savage brings
collapses.
Savage brings up a very, very valid point. Does the guy have enemies? Yes. By the way, did you hear what the Amsterdam News put on the cover of their paper today?
No, what's that?
Anti-black journalists dead. Breitbart, talking about Breitbart, called him an anti-black journalist. Because he went after Shirley Sherrod. Now, to break down, do you understand the breakdown of the Shirley Sherrod story? And this is the reason why I say, okay, well, Shirley Sherrod.
No, I'm not familiar with that story.
Okay, so Shirley Sherrod, and this is what kind of gave, Andrew Breitbart had always been out there. People knew who he was. We all know who Breitbart is. Breitbart started Drudge Report with Matt Drudge. He started the Huffington Post. He created, of course, Breitbart TV. And, of course, he worked with Tucker Carlson, all of these guys he was good friends with, Sean Hannity. Everybody knew who Breitbart was. The story that really, really made him sort of like gave him national attention is when during the Tea Party rallies outside the Capitol, certain members of the Congressional Black Caucus had gone on the air and said that the Tea Party members were racist to them, and they spat on them, and they were calling them nigger outside the Capitol steps. Well, Breitbart had cameras there where these black congressional leaders were walking up, and they have the video of them walking up, and there's no video of any person calling them nigger. There is people who are shouting at them, and as some people are shouting, they're spittling. So it's like they're not spitting like, they're like talking and spit is flying. There's no denial of that. And Breitbart has made that video available. So when this story came out and that these congressional leaders like Claire Byrne, audio we played of him here, we've had his audio on the show. He kept creating this false narrative on news media. We were spat on. We were called nigger. We were spat on. We were called nigger. Breitbart came flat out and said, okay, enough. $150,000 to anybody who produces a video where a Tea Party member called anyone at a Congressional Black Caucus a nigger or spat on them. This happened in 2009. No one has claimed the $150,000 yet. No one. Right. So that's how Breitbart came up the first time. $150,000 to anybody who could produce that video. Haven't been able to produce it. Okay? So then the next thing he got attention for, Shirley Sherrod. If the NAACP, which the NAACP put out a statement saying that the Tea Party was racist. So Breitbart found this tape of Shirley Sherrod, the head of the – she was one of the members of – or worker for the United States Department of Agriculture. USDA. Anyway, so she is telling this story about how she worked for USDA and a white farmer came to her and he was struggling and he needed some assistance. She tells the story and says how she did not want to help the white farmer and wanted him to go find a white agent who can help him. Well, I'm sorry. So she directed him to a white agent.
Why?
That would help him. Because she said that the way that the white man spoke to her, this white person spoke to her, she said that he spoke down to her like she was beneath her. So if you listen to her tell the story, and Breitbart showed the video, the people in the NAACP, when she was talking about how the white man was talking down to her, the crowd is going, mm-hmm. She goes, you know how they talk. They talk to you like you're beneath them. And the whole crowd's like, mm-hmm. So she moves on. She's telling the whole story, and then she finally says that she realized that it wasn't about race. That she had finally come to her senses. It wasn't about race, that it was about class. You know, who does it? And she eventually helped them. But when he released the video, all he wanted to say is, these people who are talking about racism, here's a fine example. Shirley Sherrod tells the story about how she's won't help this white man because of the way that he's – and the crowd is, He's like, you want to talk about racism? That's clear racism there. The video comes out. Glenn Beck gets a hold of the video, but he chops it in half. Now, Breitbart doesn't get any attention for the video, but Glenn Beck is getting attention for putting the video out for public viewing, but only part of the video. So when people ask, why are they putting this video out there, the White House finds out about this video. They fire Shirley Sherrod. They fire. But Glenn Beck has only released half of the video. Nobody went to Breitbart for it. They all went to Glenn Beck's show. And they all wanted to get on top of this before Glenn Beck played it on his radio show, on his TV show. And they knew he was going to. But they only played part of it. Breitbart didn't keep part of it. Glenn Beck kept part of it. Breitbart's article tells the whole story. Listen to the people in the crowd, how they're chiming in and agreeing with this racism. They want to talk about racism. Here's a clear example of what racism looks like. It wasn't about Shirley Sherrod. It was just about the racism of the West End. But the narrative kept going, oh, Breitbart only released a partial video getting Shirley Sherrod fired. But the bottom of the matter was, he didn't get Shirley Sherrod fired. The President of the United States fired Shirley Sherrod. because he didn't have all the information. They jumped on it. They wanted to, of course, try to. So when the whole tape comes out, Shaw the Sherrod is like, you know, I'm the victim of a cruel joke. But when it's all said and done, the argument becomes, Breitbart, you released only part of that video. Breitbart goes, that's not true. If you go to my website where I released it, I show you the whole video. Glenn Beck only showed part of the video. So Glenn Beck's quote-unquote editing becomes now Breitbart's problem. So now this story brings Breitbart, forget about it, leaps and bounds. He's the biggest name in the United States now when it comes to conservative talks because of his video. It reached all the way to the White House and got a person fired because of it. So now, and then the Anthony Weiner story, which, forget about it, global proportions, which I'm sure you heard about.
No.
Are you kidding me? Anthony Weiner, New York congressman, takes a picture of his erect penis inside of his underwear and accidentally posts it on his Twitter account. Andrew Breitbart got a hold of it and put it all over the internet saying this is what the congressman is tweeting. Anthony Weiner comes out when he's first asked about it by the media, are you sending graphic photos of your genitalia in your underwear? And the first thing he said was that my computer got hacked. Breitbart says, your computer got hacked? We don't believe that. So they go back to him. You're saying your computer got hacked. He goes, we think it got hacked. Then he starts backing off of it. He's having some classic exchanges with the media. I didn't say that. I'm saying that it was possibly hacked, but we're getting into it. Breitbart kept on it. They started getting information. Next thing you know, women are coming out of the woodwork, even a porn star. He's tweeting pictures of himself naked inside the congressional gymnasium with a hand over his genitalia, taking pictures in the mirror of his buff body. Oh, it all exploded. And finally, Breitbart is there inside the hall where Anthony Weiner is going to finally make a statement about the pictures. Breitbart's there. The crowd surrounds him, Andrew Breitbart, because he's the one who broke the story. Turns out, which makes this even more interesting, was that when the picture first came out and they knew Andrew Breitbart had it, because of the Shirley Sherrod story, people said Andrew Breitbart is setting up Anthony Weiner. We got to protect him. We're going to say that Andrew Breitbart hacked his computer. And they did. And Anthony Weiner went out into the news and repeated the press's narrative that Andrew Breitbart hacked into his computer. But when everybody else started to get wind of that was false, they were going to let Andrew Breitbart take the fall. He's the most vilified person in the country because of that Shirley Sherrod debacle. And then it got found out that more and more people started coming forward. And I'll show you the porn star that came forward. She's on my blog too. She came out and said that she was having an online conversation repeatedly with Anthony Weiner, and that was it. It all blew up. So Andrew Breitbart shows up at the press conference. The whole crowd surrounds Andrew Breitbart to get a statement from him. Finally, somebody says, "You know, look, we're not going to be able to go to the podium." To the same podium where Anthony Weiner is supposed to give his statement, Andrew Breitbart goes up there and takes over the whole thing and then answers questions for everybody and says, look, we know, we told you, we knew, he sent the pictures. And then finally he got up there and he disgraced himself. He said, it was me, I sent the pictures, it was my accident. And he resigned. Andrew Breitbart becomes a worldwide name. That's him. I can give you a history of this guy. I love Andrew Breitbart. Love him. Love him. I can't. You can't be jealous of a guy who gets that kind of attention. You can only root for a guy like that. There are a lot of people in this game who are jealous of a guy like him. That's why they're running around talking about how they're happy that he's dead. Yeah, of course it's ignorant. But you know what? The only reason why they're happy that he's dead is because he's not around to take them and drop their ass to the mat. He's not there to freaking put them in a figure four leg lock. He's not there to put him in the Boston Crab. You see all these euphemisms of wrestling that I'm using for you, JC?
We're starting to make politics sound real interesting.
I thought you'd like that. I thought you'd like that. I love some Andrew Breitbart, man. and I'm going to miss him. Dearly, 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 dearly going to miss him. I just got to play Happy Warrior again, if I may.
Yeah.
If you guys matter, I just got to play him again.
You before you do?
Yeah, what's up?
Guess who I'm interviewing tomorrow night?
Tell me who.
George the Animal Steel.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Congratulations. Hey, here's Andrew Breitbart. When we come back, I don't know, we'll get into some other news and views.
Do you even know what you're protesting? How much are you getting paid? You don't even know why you're here. You don't understand why you're here.
We know very well
how much
why
are you
we're
getting
here.
Paid?
We're not getting paid. We're not paying anybody. Nobody's getting paid. We are here.
Are you here to stop the hate?
Yes.
Are you a hateful man?
I'm certainly not.
You're hateful.
I'm a peaceful man.
What are you here for?
I am here to stop the hate that Glenn Beck is promulgating.
Like what? One thing that he said that's hateful. One thing. One thing. One. One thing that he said that's hateful. One. One. Not 100. One. One. One.
I'm not going to fall into your trap.
One. It's a trap. Truth is a trap.
He should not be allowed to take that from us.
Why is he a coward? 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 Your sign says Beck is a coward. Why is he a coward? Why is he a coward?
He stands there on his.
I'm asking him. That's what his sign says.
He stands in his TV show. It just, you know what?
Why is he a coward? Your sign has a very clear statement. Why? SEIU. Who here is from SEIU? What has Beck lied about? I'm going to go sign by sign. What has he lied about? Name one lie.
Probably everything.
Good
quote.
There you go. Is there a single person here willing to back up what your sign has to say? Is there a single person whose sign is backed up by truth? Here. You're here because the unions told you to come here, and he's organizing you. You are not an individual. You are a mass, and he's organizing you. You do not have free will in the United States. You want to be led. I thought dissent was patriotic. Since we started organizing, saying we want to get back to the Constitution, that we want to get back to the founding principles, we've been told that we're haters for saying that we believe in the Constitution.
Oh, hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" Was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He was from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like... He didn't need to talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like... Some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like... Oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us. Mm-mm.
We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport. You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They're terrorists. They know the black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, hello? We have got five black... Hello?
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
Our beloved Vice President, Joe Biden. God bless that lunatic. It's Reese on the radio. And don't forget, folks, you know, every Friday, it's important to me, especially on a Friday, it's important to me that I make sure that each and every one of you know, don't you dare forget, that on Friday, it is the most important day of the week. Because, of course, you know, it is, it is the weekend coming up, but you also have to remember that it is a Friday night dance party. Ah, forget it. I can't even find the audio. I can't find the damn audio. Here I am searching for it, but I can't find a damn thing. My apologies. Anyway, we'll find it. We'll get all of it there. See, there it is. I found it. There it is.
You know what time it is. It's time for the Friday night dance party.
That's right. It's time for the Friday night dance party. Right here on Reese on the Radio. And that'll be coming within the next hour. Relax, the next hour. No. We're just having a Friday night dance party.
You know what time it is. It's time for the Friday night dance party.
You got to just hear this audio. It's classic. Anyway, so we'll do that in the next hour, plus some other news that's coming up. I didn't know this. I'm just hearing this now. There's already conspiracy theories all over the place about Andrew Breitbart. Of course, as we just mentioned, one by conservative talk show host Mike Savage. And, of course, let me see. I don't know. There's some other people who are also bringing up that. This guy got eliminated, commenter on InfoWars. We'll read up some more on that. We'll also give you some information about a teacher who was fired after assigning a violent math problem to third graders. First it's slavery, now it's violence. They're trying to reach the kids on all levels. Anyway, we'll go to the top of the hour. I hope it's not going that far. We'll see. Anyway, top of the hour, we'll be back. Stick around, it's Reese on the Radio.
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
And we're back on the radio. Just 1 minute after the hour on this March 2nd, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. You can also log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com and send us an email at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. I was supposed to have a news report that was actually coming out about me, but now I was just told earlier today by the writer that it's not going to be coming out. They're going to hold off. So, you know, what can I say? Screw you. Okay, anyway. Yeah, as we talked about in the last hour, there are plenty of people all over the place who are starting conspiracy theories themselves that are saying that Andrew Breitbart may have indeed been killed instead of just died of an apparent heart attack or natural causes, as it's being reported so far. Bloggers are going everywhere. The blogosphere is going nuts. I don't know. I'm not much for conspiracy theories and stuff, but... because when they come out, what I like to do is investigate them, and I question them. You know, look, to give you a little bit of background about conspiracy theories and why I'm not as enamored with them as I used to be. The reason why I wanted to get into journalism and why I fell in love with news, I'll never forget it. And there's a bit of irony in the story because I'll never forget it. You can actually look this up, JC. I want to see if you can find this picture of the Daily News cover. Back in 2009, on the cover of the Daily News, a gentleman died. His name was what was his name? It was, why am I forgetting his name? Well, I called him Mr. Wiener. But look up, that was his real name, Mr. Wiener. Look up his name for me, JC. 2009, the summer of 2009, he died. He was the first New York case of the swine flu who died in 2009. He was an assistant principal of IS-238, my alma mater in Queens. And I'm almost certain his name is either Andrew Wiener or something along that line, but he was I always called him Mr. Wiener. I remember him. I was in the seventh grade, and he was a substitute teacher then when I was in the seventh grade. Here's the whole breakdown. The only reason why I know Mr. Wiener is because of that day that he was a substitute teacher at my school. He stayed at the school and became the assistant principal when he died in 2009. The day that he substituted for my math class, Mr. Lefkowitz's class, he came in with the Zapruder film from the JFK assassination. And Mr. Wiener was a conspiracy theorist because he brought in the JFK assassination tape, the Zapruder film. Do you see what his name was?
Mitchell Wiener?
Mitchell Wiener. That's exactly who it is. Mitchell Wiener.
You're back in a moment.
Okay. Mitchell Wiener is his name. And he died. Anyway, so he showed us the Zapruder film when we were in class that day, and he was showing us different angles of this film or different aspects of this film that he thought may have proved that John F. Kennedy was assassinated by more than one shooter. He also brought in the Grassy Knoll. The reason why I know these places, the Book Depository, the reason why I know Dealey Plaza, the reason why I know all of these places is because Mitchell Wiener taught them to me in one day. He fascinated me one day. In my seventh grade life, it made me love the news. It did. And we're talking about an assassination that took place on November 22nd, 1963. I was born on August 14th, 1969. So I wasn't even there. This meant nothing to me in the grand scheme of things. It happened 6 years before I was even born. But it was still fresh on the minds of people like Mitchell Weiner, even as I was a seventh grader. So I understand the genesis of things like conspiracy theory. Here's a guy who openly said he had information about the President of the United States. There are people out there who will do anything to protect the President of the United States. Would they kill a man for it? I don't know. No, I don't think so. Nowadays, they send you to court. Nowadays, they sue you for the tapes. Now we live in such a litigious world, we take it to the Supreme Court. I don't believe that anymore. I refuse to believe that. I think the bottom line is that this is one of those things where people are trying to deal with the tragic loss of somebody that they have an affection for, who they believe is a force. And I believe that they feel as though, I know I feel it, they feel as though they've lost somebody who championed things for them. And with their loss, they feel lost. So I have a, you know, it's not as easy for me to just jump on a conspiracy theory bandwagon. So until it does come out, I mean, look, we know he had a glass of red wine before he walked home. Could somebody have poisoned him? I don't know. I don't know. I don't appreciate the idea of thinking that. You know, I think about his wife and his four young children. Of course, I just don't believe it.
You will believe it in a minute
ago. No. I wasn't believing it a minute ago. I was just reporting what was being said. And look, everybody has a right to believe what it is that they believe or think what it is that they think. You know, I'm just having a hard time jumping on the bandwagon of something like this. Yep, that's him. Thank you for the picture. That's Mitchell Weiner. That's a picture of him just before about the time that he died, but I'll remember his face forever, Mitchell Weiner. And it was, you know, it was a sad story about Mitchell Weiner dying of the swine flu, but he had other health problems as well, as far as kidney problems and stuff like that. But anyway, back to what I was saying. A conservative blogger by the name of Lawrence Sinclair referenced a conversation he had with Breitbart in Washington, D.C. 3 weeks before. Andrew said, wait till they see what happens March 1st, Lawrence Sinclair wrote. Sinclair also took issue with the wording of Breitbart's death announcement as it was posted on biggovernment.com. Claims that Andrew died of natural causes are opinions of his attorney, Joel Pollack, and not the statements by any medical personnel or from UCLA or the LA coroner's office. They wrote that LA assistant chief medical examiner Ed Winter said that the autopsy was to be done tomorrow, well, today, and had no official cause of death hasn't been determined. But the coroner's office told Yahoo News on Thursday that it's unclear when the results of an autopsy would be released. With conspiracy theory allegations floating around Sinclair's website, the comments escalated into more predictions of foul play. Quote, I do not believe Breitbart died of natural causes, end quote. One commentator wrote, he died for speaking the truth. He probably should not have announced that he had videos of Barack Obama's college days. I find it quite interesting that he died alone on the street. There will be an autopsy and they will decide on natural causes, but there is a way to induce a heart attack in human beings. Another commenter wrote, one thing is for sure, 43-year-old people don't die from natural causes. But it wasn't just Sinclair News that hosted conspiracy theorists. Conservative site InfoWars had plenty of speculations, too. I'm going to reiterate what I said before, a commenter wrote. In my opinion, this guy got eliminated plain and simple. Another person wrote, anybody who gets too close to the truth will be killed. Well, that's kind of the state of our union. I believe that people have believed that for so long. But I got to tell you, if there's any truth to this, if it ever comes out, America will be a very different place if there's any truth. So, a very different place, especially if they would find out that anybody, let's just say if it was anybody who most of these people think would be involved. Anyway, on to some other news. A Washington, D.C. charter school teacher has been fired after it was discovered that the teacher had assigned third grade students a number of math problems framed around violent and illegal scenarios. At first, the unnamed teacher at the Trinidad Center City School claimed he had been ordered to assign the problems, but it was quickly discovered that the teacher had actually downloaded them from a free homeschooling website called homeschoolingparadise.com. I was absolutely distressed, Dr. Beverly Wheeler, the CEO of Center City PCS, which oversees Trinidad. It doesn't follow. Oh, is it? Okay. All right. Then it would explain why they would choose this material. Anyway, it doesn't follow anything we do. We are about character, excellence, and service. And I found them to be violent and racist. Even more baffling, other parents at the school say the teacher in question is a minister. Wow, I didn't know that. I went to the Homeschool Paradise website and took a look at the third grade homeschooling worksheets curriculum to start the site's own promotional slogan. Uses oddly harsh and racially problematic language, asking, want your kids to sharpen their mathematical skills to a razor's edge? There is nothing better than grinding their neurons on Singapore math. You can read more about Singapore math system right here. I'm going to actually log on to that. Here are some of the suggested math problems from the site. And to be clear, I'm not cherry picking. Almost any question picked at random will reflect concerns expressed by Dr. Wheeler. I was sleeping one night when a hungry vampire sucked 3,652 liters of blood from me and 1,865 liters of blood from my little brother. How much blood did the hungry vampire drink that night?
Oh, my God.
Wait. Another reads, I took a nap in a bog one day and woke up screaming, 3,796 leeches, 2,910 fleas, and 1,044 vampire bats were sucking at my bald head, drinking my blood in ecstasy. How many bloodthirsty bloodsuckers were dining on my head?
Hey, is that
funded by Lady Gaga? I don't know. Wait. And check out this incredibly morbid problem. John's father gave him 1,359 marbles on his birthday. John swallowed 585 marbles and died. Nine of John's friends came to his funeral the next day. John's grieving father gave the remaining marbles to John's friends in equal numbers. How many marbles did each friend get?
Who's teaching this class? Ike Turner?
I cannot believe this. Wait. Last I checked, most kids are warned against indulging in tobacco products. Nonetheless, Homeschooling Paradise offers this equation for children to ponder. John, Jack, and Jim lit up their pipes at dinner and began blowing smoke rings. By the time they were finished, they had blown a total of 6,437 smoke rings. If John blew 52 smoke rings and Jack blew 3,896 smoke rings, how many smoke rings did Jim blow? These are the questions.
I don't get it.
teacher has been fired and removed from this position because the questions were over the top. Yes, a sad, alarming, but true. Hey, when we come back, could the Redskins be moving to the D.C. area? Marion Barry says, I don't think so. Yeah, wait, you're not allowed to call him a crackhead anymore. He's a recovering crackhead. He's no longer an authentic or official crackhead. It probably is. We'll be... Yes, they sure do. We'll be back.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul.
Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And we're back, Reese on the Radio, 20 minutes after the hour here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio, 37307. Now, you know, I've warned everybody that this whole thing, the Lorax, was nothing more than propaganda. Saving the trees. I'm reading a review on it right now. I'm not even going to talk about it. I've done this 1,000 times already. I don't have to say it 1,000 times more for people to get it. Bottom line is that, you know, of course, all they're doing is trying to get our children brainwashed. Their whole intent, brainwash our damn children. Drives me up the wall. Sick and tired of that. Always brainwashing somebody.
But how do you know that they don't feel like you're trying to brainwash?
I'm not trying to brainwash anybody. I'm saying get the information for yourself. That's why I've just stopped talking about it. So I'm done with it. Anyway, if you joined us earlier, we talked about the young girl, Daniela, the Colombian, who wants to stay in the country because she's got a 6.7 grade point average. And even though she doesn't belong in the country and she should be in her own damn country, wants to stay here because she believes she deserves it because she has a high grade point average and she doesn't belong here. And even though she's being completely kicked out of the country on March 28th, please get your ass up out of the country. With your sister, too. You don't belong here. I'm sure there's a college in Colombia. But, yeah. But anyway, we talked about her. Talked about how the country's trying to spin that story as if we're supposed to care about her. We do not. I know I don't. That's because the girl lost everybody in her family, and I wasn't for that either. It doesn't make any sense. And here's the reason why I had the most argument. We just added, I said this to JC earlier. We got a woman who's going to spend 5 years in jail. She got sentenced to 12 because she had her kindergartner go to a school in the next town in Connecticut. She's got to serve jail time for stealing an education. This girl has not only stole a kindergarten education, but she stole a public school, a junior high school, a high school. Now she's going to talk about going to college. And they think that she doesn't shouldn't be deported. They're gonna put a girl in jail for 5 years for her kindergarten to steal in a year worth of school. Well, no kidding. I made it. Of course, it's a good point. Forgive me while I pat myself on the back. Reminds me of that famous scene in the Batman movie with Jack Nicholson. Jerry Hall walks up to Jack Nicholson. She goes, "You look fine, honey." And he looks at her and goes, "I didn't ask." I love it. We also talked about Rush Limbaugh and the whole spin on him calling the young woman Sandra Fluke, who spoke on the Senate floor about how she can't afford contraception, how Rush Limbaugh called her a slut, and the controversy that's creating. I mean, it's not much controversy. I mean, what the hell can you possibly say? You know, you're on the Senate floor arguing the fact that you should be getting contraception paid for by the likes of other people. And we know how ridiculous that is. There's nothing stupider than you getting on the Senate floor asking other people to pay for you to have sex. Because that's what it is. Or to have safe sex, for that matter. And so here's how the report went this morning.
For 2 days, Rush Limbaugh has eviscerated Sandra Fluke on the radio.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke?
who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex. What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
Fluke, a third-year law student at Georgetown, is now the flashpoint in a debate about whether employers should be required to fully cover contraception, even if they have religious objections. Fluke had been prevented from testifying by Republican Congressman Daryl Issa at this congressional hearing in mid-February. Two congresswomen even walked out of the hearing after only men testified. But last week, Fluke was back before Congress, this time speaking at an unofficial hearing held by Democrats.
Without insurance coverage, contraception, as you know, can cost a woman over $3,000 during law school. For a lot of students who, like me, are on public interest scholarships, that's practically an entire summer's salary.
Those comments set off the talk radio giant on Wednesday.
She's having so much sex she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex. What does that make us? We're the pimps.
And again on Thursday.
If we're going to have to pay for this, then we want something in return, Ms. Fluke, and that would be the videos of all this sex posted online so we can see what we are getting for our money.
Overnight, Fluke responded on MSNBC.
I guess my reaction is what the reaction that a lot of women have when they've been called these names.
No one cares what your reaction is, slut. What am I supposed to say? What else can I possibly say? No one cares what your reaction is. No, that's because the president, oh, please, the president is only calling her. No, it's not about a vote. No. This is what we call Captain Saberhull. That's what we used to call them in the hood. You put yourself out there on Front Street, now you're some damsel in distress, right? You don't put your business out on Front Street. You can't put an aspirin between your knees. You're in there arguing about how you can't get contraception. Please, please, please pay for me so that I don't get pregnant. Please help me not get pregnant. And now what does the president do? He's going to call you up. And what do you feel like, you loser? Now he's got a free campaigner. Now he's got Susan Fluke running around campuses at Georgetown University. She's a celebrity. The president called you? The president called you? Was he cool? What did you talk about? Oh, I'm going to vote for him. He's so great. Did he talk about music? Oh, my God. Did he sing? Did he sing? Ugh. What do you do? It's just awful. Just completely awful. I don't even know how to respond to just that kind of stupidness. I don't even know how to. I mean, this woman is sitting up there talking about, I can't get it. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, bottom line is, we all know where this is coming from. And I wish that I could expect more from my president, but I can't, unfortunately. Hey, interesting story that I heard about a movie coming out. Unfortunately, I don't know whether or not to call this film original or inventive. A new film that is coming out talking about the making of Psycho. In essence, it is a movie based upon making a movie. So the movie will be about the making of Psycho, and someone will be playing Alfred Hitchcock, of course, the director of the classic film. But what I found interesting was that they've got, I have to admit, they got a pretty good person to play the role of Janet Leigh for this film. And it's Scarlett Johansson. And if you've seen a comparison of the two, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me some ScarJo. I really, really dig her, man. Really, really dig her. She is my kind of white girl. She's definitely my favorite. But yeah, I think she's a good casting of Janet Leigh. You know, I probably have to say the original Scream Queen. I'm behind, right in front of Jamie Lee Curtis, who just happens to be her mother. So, yeah. So anyway, they say that the picture, it's based on a nonfiction book by Stephen Rebello. The prestige pick will also star Anthony Hopkins as, I'm not happy with this. Anthony Hopkins is going to be playing Alfred Hitchcock. Helen Mirren, she's always great. Now, I know, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I know. I don't know who this guy James Darcy is, but he's going to be playing Anthony Perkins, who, of course, played the lead. Where would I know James Darcy from? Am I familiar with him, JC?
Not really.
I don't think so.
But who would you have play Alfred?
See, that's the interesting question, because there aren't a lot of guys who look like him. See, I'd have gone years back and I would have said somebody like a Gielgud could have played Alfred Hitchcock brilliantly. But, of course, he's dead. Wow, there's no one with that Alfred Hitchcock unique look anymore. Alfred Hitchcock had that snotty professor look. I don't think there's anybody close to that you could cast that looks like him, because this would have to be an aging actor. Anthony Hopkins has that, it's like you have to cast him in everything. Sort of like how you always have to cast Samuel L. Jackson as the really, really angry black guy in every film, with the loud mouth. Because there's no other guy who plays him realistic. I mean, in a genuine way. I mean, if you want to think about loud, black, tough guys, how many actors out there who could play that role? There are none. Even if you look at that movie Safe House with Denzel Washington, look how much of a bad guy he is, but he's like the most silent bad guys. The one time you hear Denzel Washington scream is, of course, King Kong Ain't Got Nothing on Me and Training Day. But even then, it was over the top for a guy like Denzel Washington. It was unheard of. The reason why he wins that Oscar is because Denzel Washington is playing a role that's completely outside of himself. You see that movie Man on Fire, with Dakota Fanning, Christopher Walken, he goes after.
That's who I was talking about.
He's trying to find.
Christopher Walken. Remember
yeah,
that
Christopher
day?
Walken.
That's who I was like.
Yeah, you couldn't remember who the actor was. Christopher Walken. Yeah, you watch that movie. Look at Denzel Washington's character in that old movie. He's the quiet, bad guy or mean guy or assassin or whatever it was he was in the old Man on Fire or the Bodyguard, whatever. That's the kind of person that he is. So we don't have many people who can play that. So Alfred Hitchcock, that's a toss up for me. I couldn't think of one actor who looks like him.
The short, dumpy guy from Seinfeld.
Now, you're talking about... George Costanza, Jason Alexander.
No, the other guy.
Oh, okay, but he's going to have to slim it down. That's Wayne Knight. You're talking about...
Right.
Newman.
Or how about, I got the perfect guy.
Whom?
Beetlejuice. The movie Beetlejuice.
Okay.
The British guy that summons him when he finds the book.
I'm a little lost on Beetlejuice here.
Give me a second. Give me one moment. I'll go
who he is. I'm trying to figure out exactly who it is you're talking about. I remember Beetlejuice, but I don't remember much from it. I remember some of the actors who are in the film, but they're not... I don't know. They don't really, really stand out. I don't know. That's just hard to cast, but, whatever. Screenplay will be written by J.L. McLaughlin, who penned Natalie Portman's psychological thriller, Black Swan. Of course, as you know, Natalie Portman won for Best Actress.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
His name is Glenn Shaddix. He played Otho.
Okay, he's the ambiguously gay summoner. He's
right.
Like the paranormal guy. Yeah, I would go with him. I would go with him.
Kind of pudgy.
Yes, very pudgy.
Shave him bald.
Yes. Yes.
He was also in the Stallone movie. Stallone and Snipes.
Yes, he was in Demolition Man, and
he played
I guess the assistant to the president.
Right.
That it's funny because he does overplay that sort of gay character. I don't know whether or not he is gay, but he definitely overdoes the whole gay character or the feminine character. I think he could pull off Alfred Hitchcock, but if he can just get the voice, you know what I mean? If he can get the
voice. Well, he's got the voice. He's got the cheeks. He
yeah.
Need a bald head.
I don't know. I'm gonna look.
A balding head.
I'm going to look up tonight and see if there's a website of, like, you know, can we look up something that's like actors who look like Alfred Hitchcock? Can we, like, look up a site that does that? That would be interesting.
I'm not sure.
I don't know whether or not we could actually do that.
He played in 2001 Planet of the Apes as well.
He was in Planet of the Apes? Yeah, he probably was.
Yeah.
I don't know that movie very well. I'm almost certain I was drunk during that film. Almost certain.
Travesty that movie was.
It was really, really bad.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad.
It's a shame that damn animatronics Caesar almost wins a damn Oscar, and Mark Wahlberg gets nothing for that movie.
Absolutely not. Yeah, that was really, really awful. I hated that entire film. From beginning to end, I was really. And the fact that they had apes with leather jackets on, that was really, really awful. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Friday night dance party tonight. It's Reese on the Rick. Let's stick around.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" Was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like, he didn't need to talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like, some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters. They is treating us good. We all tyrannish. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport.
You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They're terrorists. They know the black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, hello? We have got five black... Hello?
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
It's Reese on the Radio. We are back and we are live.
Computer thing is killing me today. The type of stuff I have to deal with on a regular basis. Anyway, I'm looking over some celebrity news. I got to be honest with you. I don't feel too bad about a lot of celebrities. But when they go through, you know, this stupid stuff, you know, I have to laugh. I have to laugh. Did you hear about Lamar Odom, JC? Did you hear about Lamar?
No.
You didn't? Okay, so Lamar Odom apparently has been kicked off the squad of the Dallas Mavericks and sent to the D team. He's been demoted to the D League, and that's for him to get his legs up under him. But Mark Cuban has come out and said that we are not getting rid of Lamar Odom. Now, that would hurt me, because I'll be honest with you, somebody would get punched in the face if this would happen to me. You drag my ass out of L.A., where I'm perfectly fine. I got two championships down there. Me and Kobe, we're cool. I'm cool with the Spanish guy, the Gasol guy. Even Meta World Peace and I are good to go. Our tests ain't freaking out and weirding out and whatnot. And I'm in L.A. My wife is more famous than me, and she does nothing. I bust my ass and damage my knees every day back and forth on a basketball court. She's more famous than me. She ain't even take her clothes off yet. And thank God, Lamar, she ain't done it. I do not want to see that giant woman in any stilettos in a Playboy photo shoot. Please keep your giant fully clothed and feed her trees, whatever it is the giants eat, whatever it is that the giants got to live on. Okay? Now, then I come all the way to Dallas, and you send me down to the D-League? I mean, how worthless do you want a guy to feel? His wife outshines him. His wife is more relevant than him. I don't know why, but more relevant than him, and then you're going to demote him to the D-League. Even his wife ain't a D-lister. His wife is an A-list celebrity. Now you're going to delist the guy who made $65 million and got two championship rings? Somebody's got to die. That's just the way I look at it. This is pathetic. Anyway, another celebrity news. Look, everybody knows that Snooki is pregnant. I don't care. Look, the only thing I care about is, as far as I'm concerned, whoever it is who got her pregnant, I'm happy for you, homeboy.
I am happy for you. That's because whoever you are, you managed to do something that I didn't think anything would do, and that was be able to get a child through those diseased fallopian tubes. You broke the bank, my man. Congratulations. How you got that little munchkin pregnant with all the garbage she's put into her body. Everything you've done, that she has managed to carry a seed. I'm stunned.
And we're still friends on Facebook.
I am stunned. I'm through with Jennifer Lopez. I'm not doing another story about her. In other tragic news, Kim Kardashian is being sued for $5 million. Apparently, her diet pills are bogus. Come on, stupid. Floyd Mayweather is in the news. Let me explain to you why I know that although Floyd Mayweather could probably knock me out with one punch, it proves to me the theory that most people who are extremely strong are incredibly stupid. In response to his quote-unquote Jeremy Lin racist comments about how the only reason why people are paying attention to Jeremy Lin is because he's Asian, Mayweather went so far as to say that some of his best friends were white. How brilliant. Some of my best friends are white. Okay. Anyway, 16 and pregnant star Whitney Purvis. Oh, she's a cute little... Is she a white girl, JC? Do you watch this garbage?
She is a white girl.
Okay, so you watch this garbage. Well, I know somebody on the staff watches it. Anyway, 16 and pregnant star Whitney Purvis was arrested in Georgia after cops say that she was spotted shoplifting a pregnancy test from a local Walmart. She's pregnant again? According to the police report, the 20-year-old MTV star stashed a first response pregnancy test into a hooded jacket and then took it into a restroom with her used one. Purvis allegedly tried to sneak out of the store through a side door, but she was busted by store security, who put her under a citizen's arrest and called the local police. According to the report, the pregnancy test was valued at $15.98.
Purvis, positive or negative?
But better question, which is which I would see guys would do the report. Purvis was hauled to a nearby police station where she was booked for misdemeanor theft by shoplifting. Purvis was featured on an MTV show back in 2009. Her mother was busted for meth in Georgia last year.
Oh, wait.
Entire family is terrible.
That might not be the girl that I'm thinking about.
Now, did they say someone made a citizen's arrest on this one?
Yes, well, the security guard can only make a citizen's arrest because he does not have that kind of authority.
He's stupid.
Yeah,
I would have kept the results and sold it to the tabloids.
What did you just say? I'm sorry.
I would have kept the results and sold it to the tabloids.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Mike Epps is in the news. Good friend. Is 18
years old. He's in Hartford.
Say again.
He's up here in Hartford tonight, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Mike Epps' 18-year-old daughter claims the comedian had been threatening her, promising to F her up, and now she's turning to the police for help. But Mike says the woman is a liar. Mike Epps filed a police report with the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department claiming the threat started after a recent argument between her and her dad. She tells TMZ the argument started when Mike appeared on an episode of the Wendy Williams Show earlier this month and gave a shout-out to two of his kids, but that didn't sit well with her, with his other offspring, who were pissed off at the snub. Bria, who Mike fathered before he married his current wife, tells us she called Mike to express her feelings, and when things got heated, he threatened to air some family drama to the media. According to police reports, Mike flipped at the threat, claiming that he was going to F her up and cause her and her mom and grandmother problems. So that's what she filed the report.
Last time we spoke to him was in Boston, right?
Last time I spoke to him was in Boston in 2008. That was the last time I saw him.
You need to get him on the show.
No, because he had to leave. He had to go back and film that stupid scene from
No.
Ah.
From which movie?
Hancock. He had the final scene in the movie Hancock.
Yeah, no. But I'm saying we need to get him on this show.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I'll see if I can do. I'll see what I can do. He's a good friend. He'll probably call in if I ask him. Wait, Hunter. There's no news there. Oh, did you hear about this? That Rush Limbaugh had a bomb squad to his house yesterday.
What happened?
That Rush Limbaugh had a bomb squad have to come to his house. Well, it wasn't really a bomb.
Yeah.
You heard about that? All right, I'm like
bomb threat. Yeah.
Keisha Knight Pulliam sued. You make a fortune on House of Pain. Keisha Knight Pulliam made no play Rudy on the same television series, The Cosby Show. Made $20,000 per episode to star on House of Pain this season, and then fired the agents who put the deal together, according to a new lawsuit obtained by TMZ. She's being sued by Green and Associates Talent Agency, which claimed it signed Keisha back in 2007 and immediately got her a lead role on the Tyler Perry TV show as Miranda Payne, as we all know. They claim it kicked ass for getting her between $7,500 to $20,000 per episode, including $20,000 per episode for all of the 2011-2012 season. Not bad, but not good enough for Keisha, because according to the suit, she fired DNA back in July. There's one big problem. DNA claims Keisha never forked over a single cent in commission from the paint deal and several other shows it worked for for Keisha on her behalf. Hey, so listen, let me ask you this. Now, I don't get this, okay? House of Pain is a half-an-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
Keisha Knight Pulliam was a featured actor on that show. Would you consider her a main character?
No.
See, JC says
well, she
no.
was a featured, yeah.
But she was a featured, but not a main actor. Because,
not
I mean,
main,
I
no.
And there's Mr. and Mrs. Well, who's, what's the, Curtis Payne is the lead role. That's a fact.
Right. Curtis and Ella.
Now, not Ella. I don't think Ella's a main character there.
The wife?
The wife. She's a horrible actress. And she don't remind me of nothing more than Mom's Mabley. She's always wagging.
Let me tell you, the last time you saw her in anything?
You'll never see her in anything. She's waving her arms around.
Yeah, you did.
What did I see her in?
She was in School Days.
Oh, no, I don't remember. That's how long ago that was, my man?
You remember when they threw the bucket of water on Lawrence Fishburne out the window?
Yeah, that's her. You're absolutely right.
That's her, yeah.
But here's my point.
My name is Cassie Davis.
Now, here's my point. Cassie Davis, of no consequence. Now, Alan Payne... Okay, he's a featured person on that show. Now, bottom line, Keisha Knight Pulliam is featured on there. She makes $20,000 an episode. Now, think about this. I'm going to throw this one right at you. Do you know anybody who's on the cast of Desperate Housewives? Do you remember?
Yeah.
You remember Nicolette Sheridan, who's no longer on the show, the blonde one?
Michael Bolton's ex-whore, yeah?
That's right. Michael Bolton's ex-broad.
Yeah.
You know how much she was making on that show? That's an hour-long show. She was making over $190,000 an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean to tell me Tyler Perry's only paying these floozies $20,000 an episode?
That's what Clifton Powell was saying. He would never work for him.
Now, who is Clifton Powell?
Clifton Powell.
No. I don't know.
Right, next Friday? Pinky. Wait.
Forgive me, man, because I never saw next Friday.
Or was it the Friday after next?
He was in both of them, Friday after next. He also played in that movie with Loretta Devine.
He Duke's uncle who runs the barbershop or whatever?
He was in Ray Charles.
Yeah, I understand.
He was in Ray.
But was he in Friday After Next where he plays Ice Cube's uncle or Michael Epps' dad? Like, is he the older gentleman or is he a younger gentleman?
No. He was the record shop owner.
Oh, okay. Still, that still doesn't ring a bell. I just find it incredibly odd that, you know, they only pay $20,000 a year. That's just odd to me. Anyway, so, I mean, $20,000 an episode. That still don't make no damn sense to me. I mean, $20,000 an episode, it still don't make no damn sense to me.
Yeah, that's bottom barrel for,
Yeah, TV. Man, not for TV, man. You gotta be making more than that.
That's why Tyler Perry has a jet. He's on jet now.
You're absolutely right, but you know what?
You know what time it is. It's time for the Friday Night Dance Party.
That's right, it's time for the Friday Night Dance Party, because we're about to go.
Quick question before you go, though.
Yes, go ahead.
What's on tap for the weekend?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Eric's working, I'm sleeping.
You know what time it is. It's time for the Friday Night Dance Party.
That's right, it's time for the Friday Night Dance Party, and as we said yesterday, we're going to play this track by the group that we call the Low Rent Jackson 5, because there are 9 of them in this group. It's the Silver.
Pick up on the fact love and devotion. It's a track for Boston Russia. Illegal parking. It's no big deal.
There you go.
She's not for real.
There you go.
But the new until she's sober. But it's just a misdemeanor. You got to get over it.
Love trap, love trap,
pick up on the
fight.
Love and devotion.
It's
a trap to block the motion.
SEIU. Who here is from SEIU?
What has Beck lied about? I'm going to go sign by sign. What has he lied about? Name one lie.
Probably everything.
Probably everything. Good quote.
There you go.